Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Well, today we are beginning a new series called Uncomfortable. We finished up our series, our summer series, Life Preservers, and if you missed any part of that, you can always go online, go to our website, check out any of the past messages. But today we're starting a new series for the next 4 weeks called Uncomfortable. Now, we all like to be comfortable, right? We like to be comfortable. That's almost our goal in life, is to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. But this idea of uncomfort is something that we're going to unpack over the next couple of weeks. The reason why people call it the comfort zone is because we want to be in that zone of comfort. We don't want to leave that comfort zone. We want everything to be perfect. We want everything, but your comfort zone might be different than my comfort zone. Your place that you are the most content or whatever it may be completely different than mine. It may have made you uncomfortable a few minutes ago to go and shake other people's hands. Your comfort zone may be sitting right there in your pew and just sitting there because going and shaking a stranger's hand or hugging somebody, that makes you uncomfortable. For other people, the flip side is true. Sitting there is not comfortable. They want to get up and talk, and we have to make them stop talking to sit down. Everybody's comfort zone is different. We live in a world, especially here in America, where we want and desire comfort. It's sold to us everywhere that we look, everywhere that we go, be comfortable, from the cars that we drive to the clothes that we wear. And I will admit, we want to be comfortable in the clothes that we wear. But comfort is sold everywhere. We're told what we should want and what we should live in and how we should do things. But ultimately, it's all about doing whatever we want to do that makes us comfortable. Think about Nike. Nike is one of the most famous brands in all of the world, not in just America, but all around the world. Kids, adults, whatever, they want that Nike brand of shoes. Side note, going back to school shopping with your kids and having kids that want Nike shoes at over $75 a pop, that is not going to happen. I looked at Isaac and I said, no, don't even look over there. That's, stop, I see your eyes, stop. We're going over here. Just knock it off. But Nike is the whole slogan. It's built on what is the phrase? Just do it. Just do it. We all know it. Nike is so popular. But what is it? Just do it. They don't define the it. Just do it. What is it? I don't know. Just do it. Whatever makes you feel good, whatever makes you comfortable, that's what it is. Just do it. And we're teaching our kids and we're teaching even us those values that we do whatever is comfortable to us, whatever makes us feel good, and don't ever do anything that is uncomfortable. Don't ever do anything that is outside of that comfort zone. Avoid it at all cost. Don't ever do anything outside of your comfort zone. Instead of pushing through a difficult time, we run to the nearest aid to avoid pain, to avoid those things that cause discomfort in our lives. And that's unfortunate because ultimately pain is what our body is signaling to us that we are getting well. For the most time, when we go, if you break a bone or something like that, you go through rehab and pain is a part of that process, but it means that your body is getting better. But we try to avoid pain at all costs. See, the Christian faith ultimately is not built on comfort. But we have that so backwards. We believe that it is built on comfort. But Christianity and this thing called believing in Jesus and being a disciple, being a Christ follower, is ultimately making us do things that we're uncomfortable doing. But how can we buck the trend? We're being taught, we're being sold, just do it, whatever comfort is, do that, never step outside of your comfort zone. But yet, our Christian faith is telling us that we are to live in a state of discomfort. So that's what we're going to unpack over the next couple of weeks. So if you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll have it up on the screen for you if you don't have your Bibles with us, but we're going to visit a couple verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now jump down to verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Powerful verse, but it gives us some insight to who we are and what God is calling us to be. Let me ask you this question this morning, just a rhetorical question. You don't have to say anything out loud. But if I were to ask you what your dream church looked like, what would it look like? What would it involve? What would it be like? What would your dream church, the people that were a part of it, just all of it, the dream church, what would that look like? Now, I hope FLC is your dream church. But I would imagine that there are things that in your dream church, your dream scenario church, there are things that you would probably want to see done differently. Maybe different seating. Maybe instead of the pews, we have the nice, big, you know, comfortable movie chairs, you know, movie theater chairs that now recline. And who knows, one day they'll probably have massagers in them so you can sit and get a massage while you're watching a $16 movie or whatever. Like, sign me up for that one. I want to be a part of that one. So maybe that's a part of your dream church. If, you know, money's not an option, like, yeah, let's get those reclining seats. That'd be awesome. You know, whatever. Maybe the paint color would be different, or I don't know, but something probably would be different. That if we had our dream church scenario, that things would be a little bit different. The style, the teaching, whatever it is. But if we're honest, there is no church that is ever going to meet your ideal dream church. There is no dream church scenario. There is no perfect church. No church is going to check off all the boxes that we want in a dream church. And so today, my first point is this, is that church is ultimately not about our preferences, it's about knowing God. Church is not about our preferences, but it's about knowing God. But in this consumeristic society that we are all a part of, we are being taught and told that everything in our life, including church, should check off all the boxes that makes us comfortable. Now, Peter was writing to the various churches that were experiencing various forms of persecution, something that is very foreign to you and I. And he was sharing with them what it means to be chosen people of God. Look back at verse 4. Just like Jesus was the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Look at what he calls us, that we as believers, as Christ followers, Christians, are to be living stones that are being built into a spiritual house to be what? A holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Now, Peter is presenting the image of a community that is entirely focused on Jesus. Their whole focus, their desire is solely on Jesus Christ. It's a community that puts aside preferences, that puts aside arguments and what I want and what you want and all of those things. It put aside comfort zones for the sake of becoming living stones. You see, the whole idea of Christianity is not what we want, but what Jesus has called us to do. It's not about what we want, but what Jesus has called us to do. But somewhere The script got flipped. That Peter is telling the church, this is who you are, this is what your focus is, this is what God is calling us to be, and now somehow we've got it switched, and I think because of culture, it's all about what we want, not what God wants us to do. We believe that church ultimately should fulfill our personal desires, that should be the forefront. And when church doesn't do that any longer, we walk away. Ultimately, we are all called to be light in this dark world. But how can we be light when we're focused on selfish desires? The reality is there is no dream church. On this side of eternity, there is no dream church. When we get to heaven, That's church. That's all of us together. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church, and we will all be together in perfect harmony and perfect unity, and that is going to be amazing. But on this side of eternity, there is no perfect church. There are things that are going to happen in every church that may rub you a little bit wrong, or things that aren't just, man, if I could just have it just like this, or maybe that. But there is no perfect church. But our goal shouldn't be to find the perfect church, but to be what Peter calls us, to be living stones that are acceptable to God. We are not a perfect church. By no stretch of the imagination do I believe we're a perfect church. And I am perfectly fine with that. I am okay that we are not perfect, that yes, we have issues and we have, but every church does. But our goal should not be a perfect church, but to be committed to what God has called us to. Our goal shouldn't be to be comfortable in church, but to do what God has called us to do. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to come in next Sunday and crank up the air conditioner to 90 just so we can be uncomfortable. That's not what I'm saying. But the idea and the premise behind this is that church shouldn't just be here to fulfill what we want, but ultimately what God wants us to do. We can be so driven by this idea and the approach of what I want that we forget and we miss out what God is calling us to do. Being part of church is not about finding a community that serves our best interest, but how we can serve the interest of others and how we can serve God. And Peter was giving this example. That you are not to find, and you are not to be the church that's perfect, and you're not to be the church that is it checks all the boxes, but you are to be a living stone, just as Christ was, that you are being built, and you are being made, and you are, you know, when you build something, it usually has flaws, and you have to work it down. It doesn't just come together like a Lego, and it's just, oh, little squares on top of it. You have to work it. You have to make it work, and we are called living stones that God is using to make this thing called the church. Peter was giving us an example that church is not about our preferences, but it's about knowing God. That is what God is calling us, to come together, to be a body of believers, to encourage one another, and not what I want or what you want, but what God wants. But somehow we've got that upside down and backwards. Our primary goal when we come together and gather is, what can we know from God? How can we know Him more? As we were singing just a few moments ago, that desire should be our passion, to know God more, not what I want, but God, I want to know you more. I want to know what you're calling me to do. And as a church, as a body, how can we do what you've called us to do and not be focused on ourselves? And sometimes that means being uncomfortable. It means getting outside of our comfort zone and stepping into something that we're not used to doing. You know, it's one of those things that when God calls you, he's not too concerned about whether or not you feel comfortable doing it or not. He calls you to do it. I remember when I taught my first Sunday school class, and I was 18 years old and just graduated high school. And you want me to do what? That is not something I'm looking for. That is not comfortable. To know that I have to look at a room full of middle schoolers and teach them God's word. How do I even do this? This is not comfortable. And I remember I didn't even have curriculum. They just, here you go, teach. And I'm going, okay, Lord, help me. Give me a verse to speak out of, because I have no idea what I'm doing right now. That was not comfortable. But God was not concerned with my comfort at that point. He said, I've called you to do something, now do it. And I will provide, I will supply. And guess what he did? He gave me what I needed. He gave me the resources that I need. And we had an amazing time, and I grew because of it. But if I would have just done what was comfortable, I would have never walked into that door and sat down in front of those students because of my comfort level. I did it because God called me. And God is going to call all of us at some point in time. And you may be, brother, you're preaching to the choir, because God does it to me all the time. You know what I mean. It's important that we grasp that understanding. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants for us. Number two, the Christian life is supposed to be uncomfortable, so we need to embrace it. This thing called Christianity is supposed to be uncomfortable. Instead of rejecting it, instead of, oh, it hurts, we need to embrace it. All right, I get it. It's going to be uncomfortable, so I'm going to embrace it. It's amazing what happens when we change our point of view on things. Have you realized that? If you walk into a situation or a scenario and you come in going, you know what? It is what it is. And I'm going to make the best of it. How your mind changes and how you enjoy it more. But when you walk in going, it's going to be awful, it's going to be terrible, just on and on and on, that you don't want to do it and you get no fulfillment out of it at all. But if you walk in going, you know what? I know it's going to be tough. I know it, but I understand that walking into it, I get something out of it. Why don't we embrace the idea that Christianity is going to be uncomfortable? God's going to call us to do these things and embrace it and find enjoyment out of it. Look at John 12:25. Jesus speaking, he says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus is telling the crowds that if you want to keep the life that you have right now, if that's your only focus, you're going to miss out on eternity. It's a challenging and thought-provoking, countercultural idea. And maybe not very comforting. But Jesus was being truthful. And he wanted us to be prepared. And he wanted the early church, he wanted the disciples to understand what they were getting into. His point that is, if you love the comforts of this life above all else, well, you may keep it here on earth, but you're going to miss out on eternity. You'll miss out the comforts of heaven. You will miss out on the joys of heaven because, well, I wanted to be comfortable now. Well, you can have it here, but you're going to miss out what's on the other side. This life is not all there is. There is so much more that we have to live with that eternal perspective in mind. Look what C.S. Lewis writes. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. We know in this life there are things that can bring us moments of fulfillment, moments of happiness. But if you go into religion, especially Christianity, think, oh, that's going to make me comfortable, it's going to make me just everything, then you're going to the wrong place. And it drives me up a wall. I'm telling you, when I hear people teach that Christianity is just full of happy, happy, joy, joy stuff, it's not. There's a whole other portion of the Bible that talks about how the struggles we're going to go through, that we are going to be uncomfortable. It's easy to find basic happiness and comfort, but living the Christian life and being a part of a Christian church community requires making sacrifices. It may mean require doing things that are uncomfortable, but ultimately help us share the message of Jesus to others. And it's a trade-off, but it's always worth it. Whatever we sacrifice, whatever makes us feel uncomfortable, I promise you, and you've probably felt this, the result on the other side is so much better than you ever realized. God, I cannot believe you're calling me to do this. There's no way I can do this. But yet when you walk through that, you see so much joy and fulfillment on the other side. The trade-off is always worth it. Jesus tells us that it will cost us something to follow him, our lives. But we grow by leaving our comfort zones. We grow by entering into the challenges and the discomforts that Jesus has laid out for us. Instead of avoiding this truth, instead of just trying to stick our head in the sand and go, okay, well, I'll just skim past that verse. No, that doesn't really apply to me today. Why don't we embrace it and see the challenges and the discomforts as an opportunity for us to grow our faith? Say, God, you're calling me to something more than I could ever see. You're calling me into something deeper. Jesus gave up the comfort of heaven for us. Think about that for a moment. He gave up the comfort of heaven. He gave up the comfort of everything for us. But beyond that, beyond just, I don't know that given the choice, if I'm in heaven, that I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go down to earth because I've got heaven. That's what we're all striving for, right? But Jesus willingly left heaven for us. But beyond that, just leaving heaven, he took on the sin of the world. But even beyond the sin, he took the sickness and infirmities of the world. Okay, I'm a baby when I get sick. Rebecca will vouch for that, okay? I don't like being sick. Like, you know, she's a nurse, and I have to say, on my benefit, having a nurse as a wife, you get no compassion at all. I know she loves me and I love her and all that, but she's, suck it up, buttercup, you just got a cold, move on. Somebody came in with a cut off hand. You're good. Okay, well, you put it in that way. I guess I am fine. But we try to avoid pain at all cost. But think about that for just a moment. The little bit of pain or the discomforts that we go through, Jesus took all of that on when he went to the cross for us. Do you think he was comfortable? Do you think that he enjoyed that experience? His choice would rather, I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it because God, you've called me for this purpose and for this reason. And God may be calling us for a purpose and for a reason to do things that make us uncomfortable, that may even cause us pain, but because we are being called living stones, we've got to go through some of this. Jesus understood what pain and suffering feels like more than anybody else. I may not understand your pain, but Jesus certainly does. We need to realize that pain and discomfort is a part of this life and that we've got to step outside of our comfort zone. But it means, what are we willing to give up? Is there something that we are willing to give up? Christianity does not just equal comfort. Christianity ultimately equals discomfort. But that's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. You see, we can live in blessings of God, but we are still going to go through times of discomfort, through challenging times. But ultimately, it's to our benefit because God wants to see us grow and do things that we wouldn't normally do if we just stayed in our comfort zone. When we step out into God's path, we're doing what he's calling us to do, and we're no longer doing what we want to do. And that's faith. To say, God, I'm going to do it. I know this is not what I would choose, but I'm doing it because you have called me. If it were up to us, I'm just speaking for us right now, if I can do that. If it were up to us, we would probably choose the path of least resistance. We're going to choose the easy path. If we have two paths in front of us, let's see, there's one that's going to be pain and suffering and heartache, or one that's going to be wonderful. Which one are we going to choose? Well, we're going to choose option B all day long. But Christianity does mean, and following Jesus means, we're going to have to face some discomfort. But ultimately, it's for our benefit, and it's for the benefit of the church. And people may think we're crazy for that, and that's perfectly fine. Because the world says, do what's comfortable. Do what makes you feel good. And you've got a group of people here going, no, we're not doing what feels good. We're not doing what's comfortable. We're doing what God calls me. You are nuts. That's okay. I'm nuts for Jesus. He's called me, and I'm going to do that. We need to embrace this life that God has called us and be willing to be uncomfortable. It may not be comfortable to share your faith with others. It may not be comfortable to share your faith with family members, co-workers. But Jesus isn't concerned with your comfort. He's concerned with what our responsibilities are. He's concerned with what we're supposed to be doing. It may not be comfortable to teach a class. It may not be comfortable to stand up in front of people. It may not be comfortable to give when God says give, but you have to, for what God is calling each and every one of us to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't die for us to be comfortable. And I feel like we as the church feel like he did die to make us comfortable. Jesus is just concerned about my comfort. He just wants me to be happy. I don't think so. He's concerned about our salvation. He's concerned about our eternity. That's what he's concerned about. And he's concerned about the salvation of everybody that lives around us, not on whether or not we're comfortable or happy. Does he want to bless us? Does God love us? Absolutely. But ultimately, Jesus gave up his life for us. And if we're going to be committed to the cross, we must be willing to experience some pain and discomfort. What if we gave up the idea of the dream church? We stopped trying to find fault with other churches or other people or other Christians and embrace discomfort for ourselves. Lay our preferences to the side and walk into the awkwardness and discomfort that God is calling us to because there's something bigger than what we see. Jesus laid everything down for us. And I don't know what it means for you. I don't know what that means individually for you as a person, as a Christ follower. But I know it's something that we need to think through, and it's something that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. See, this whole idea, and over the next couple of weeks as we unpack this, I hope that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to show us areas that maybe we have been in comfort, that maybe we have been in this comfort zone as believers. And yeah, you know, Jesus, I love you, you love me, and things are good, but maybe he's calling you to do something that's a little bit uncomfortable, to share your faith, to step out in faith, to do something that other people think are crazy. And that's okay, but we have to be willing to take that step. Allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us, to be, as Peter was saying, to be a living stone, to offer our lives to God and say, God, use me. We say those prayers, we sing those songs, but do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? And that's the one thought that I want to leave with you today is, do we really mean it? The words that we say, the songs that we sing, do we really mean it? And if at some point you're like, man, that's, maybe I have become comfortable. It's okay. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad or, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person. It's just to say, Holy Spirit, show me ways that I've gotten comfortable. Show me the areas that I've just gotten comfortable in my faith. As Rebecca was saying a few minutes ago, that when we first come to Christ, we have this passion and this zeal for God, but then the enemy just lulls us into this sleep and into this comfort. Where's the passion gone? Where is that desire gone? And over the next few weeks and today that we say, Holy Spirit, just reveal those things to me. I don't want to get comfortable in my faith. I want to be challenged. I want to be pressed. I want to be uncomfortable for you because I know that's what you're calling me to do. So all across the church, if you would, bow your heads. And can we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to speak to us? This is not a comfortable message for me to preach today. But it's one that's necessary and vital. If we're going to do what God has called us to do, to be a lighthouse in this community, then we have to be okay with being uncomfortable. We've got to be uncomfortable with people that may come into our church that may not look like us. We have to be uncomfortable with people who live in a different social class than us. We've got to be uncomfortable. We've got to be okay with being uncomfortable when God says, give, but I don't know if I can. Give of your time. God, I don't have that much time. I'm telling you, give. Give of your resources. Give of your time. Share your faith. Tell your story. But God, I don't know how people are going to, it doesn't matter how they're going to respond. Just do what I've said. God, you know I'm not an outspoken person. You may not be, but you have the Holy Spirit living inside and dwelling inside of you, that we just yield and submit ourselves to him. Being uncomfortable is okay. Holy Spirit, show us those ways. Right now, speak to us. As a body of believers, as individuals, help us not be okay with being comfortable. Help us not be okay with the status quo. Help us not just look for the dream church, but to be a part of a community making a difference. That's okay with discomfort. That's okay with a little pain. That we don't get focused on what our desires and what our needs and what our wants are, but what your desires are. May we be a church committed and called to you and you alone. Not fearing what other people may say about us. Not concerned what other people may think about us. But being okay with being who you have called us to be. And what you are calling us to do. And what you are calling us to say. Every moment of every single day. Help us be uncomfortable for the sake of the cross. Jesus, you died for us. You gave it all up for us. May we be willing to give up our lives for you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.